podcast.
Welcome. It's We Knows Parenting. I'm Peter McNerney.
And I'm Beth Newell.
We're tired.
We're all quarantined out like the rest of you.
We're tired physically, existentially, parentingly.
Parentingly.
Really proud of not
cleaningly
exploding at my children tonight. I was on the verge.
I kind of exploded at them today. Not like, I was just more vocal than usual, but I don't think I got as worked up as I have in the past.
Yeah, I had a fine day until bedtime, and I felt rage. Maven was really full Maven today.
They were both being so difficult. Like, she's just so contrarian. There's so many days now. So, like, for people, listeners who are not aware of our schedule, we are in quarantine, and I tend to work in the mornings while you do school with the kids. And then in the afternoon, I deal with them while you do work. And so, you know, depending on the day, by the time I get to them, it's like, I'm like, okay, maybe I can get them outside, blah, blah, blah. But sometimes it's just like, I'll mention going outside and I'll be saying it for like a full hour or something, and I just have to sort of like early on try to figure out which way the wind is blowing so that I can give up in time before I lose my mind. You know, like Maven went up, they both wanted to go to the beach, and then they weren't getting their shoes on, and finally,
by the way, this is a very out of the way, not public beach, no one's around, we're not going to the beach.
Yeah, but we're gonna walk down to the beach and just walk along the beach. And so, and it's like one of the few things we can do right now. So it's like, let's get out of the house and go to the beach. And once they're there, they love it there and they relax and it's good. But getting them outside is a problem. So Maven today, she finally goes upstairs to get dressed and then decides that she wants to wear a bathing suit, which is not appropriate because it's like 55 degrees outside. And she refused to put any clothes over it. So then I was just like, well, this isn't happening today. we're done.
But I came out later to see that she was still insistent. I'm going to the beach. I was like, okay, great, I'll take you. Put your clothes on.
As she was going to bed at like 8 p.m. with her bathing suit still on, she was like, we never got to go to the beach.
We're like, listen to us. I had a real victory, which is, we were both up there. We both remained calm. I was about to blow up. I was really appreciative you were there. Because we'd always threaten Maven with me.
Well, I could
and
just tell
sort of worked.
By the way that this day has been going, they were both being really bad at the same time. And I was like, there's no way you're going to survive this in time for us to record this podcast unless we tag team this a little bit.
Yeah. I was about to literally grab both of them.
Yeah, I could feel it. I was like, things are getting tense.
I got up there though, and Maven, I just ignored her enough that she, every time I do it, I'd be like, do you like this book, Maven? She goes,
She's been doing a lot of brooding today.
It's the evil cow.
She does this eye squint at us.
No one can look at you out of the tops of her eyes with more fire and disdain.
I think I told you I talked to this like intuitive woman a couple weeks ago. I was like doing a session with her and she kept saying things about Maven that were so true, and she was like, she's got fire and ice. I was like, that's her.
Well, you know how I finally got her, because I put her in bed and then she was like kicking the blanket off, and I'm like, I can't leave because she can't get this blanket, big heavy blanket, back up. So she's going to like, we'll have to come back up eventually. So I was like, okay, how do I get out of here with the blanket still on her? And I did it with tickle spiders.
Good work.
I said, laid her down and go, all right, Maven, I know you've had a rough day. Just before I go, just be very careful, because last time I was in here, I saw this bed was full of tickle spiders. She goes, hmm? And I go, there's one right behind you. Ah! And then I tickle her, and then I pretend to grab it with my other hand, and then I squash it up. I go, tickle spider, and then I eat it, and then I act like it's the most disgusting thing I've ever eaten. And then I get mad at her, and I go, don't make me eat any more tickle spiders. And then she started giggling, and I knew I had her.
Wow.
And so I was sort of tickle torturing her, but then I grabbed them and pretend like I was getting hurt, and I think it balanced it. And then Brynn got, and we all started screaming, and then they started going, there's a tickle spider on your butt. So I got a lot of exercise up there, and I eventually slammed the door by saying, when I come back, you better have eaten all these tickle spiders. I am not happy. And I shut the door, and they were laughing hysterically, and I ran downstairs. Wow. Less angry than I was when I went up.
That's good. You turned it around.
I turned it around. It does not always work. And it won't work next time.
I got so mad at Brynn today because I was trying to distract him from being horrible as usual. And I was trying to get, I was like, oh, he can read this recipe for me while I'm making it. And I was like trying to get him to do that. And so he kept standing in front of my computer, like reading it. But then as soon as I would walk away to get the ingredients, he would open up another tab to try to look at YouTube videos.
Ugh, you can't leave him alone with the computer for a second.
I'm like, you're not allowed to use computers. You're just so bad. Like, he's just so...
No, he's not allowed.
Like, I was like, never mind. This is bad. This is never happening again.
Screens.
We need to, like, print out recipes or something. I was like, it seemed like a good way to get him reading. Like, he doesn't like reading for school as much as he does if it's, like, a game.
Yeah. He's obsessed with 20 questions to the point where we're all hate this game.
Yeah.
But so he likes to play with his Nana on the phone in real life. And then finally I said, fine, I'll put 20 questions with you whenever you want, but you have to submit your questions in writing. And he's done more writing through this game than he will any other time.
So he was playing with my mom, and she had to write the questions on the game, and so he just had to hit like yes, no, or sometimes. And his thing was a cat, and my mom asked like if it climbed trees, and he hit no, and I was like, well, sometimes it does. So then he was trying to like type out a text message to my mom, and it took him so long, and it was so funny to watch. He was like, how do you spell climbs? He texted, sometimes it climbs trees. And he also somehow figured out to send her a voice message at some point. Like, he texted her a voice message to be like, Nana, this part of the game, blah, blah, blah. And like, and then, so then the game switched over. Like, it was his turn to ask the questions. And I think he immediately got exhausted by typing. So he just typed WUT, what is it? And his first question. And then I think my dad was playing on the other end, and my dad just hit no. And then
so his first question is, what is it?
Yeah. So then Brynn called them and was like, I give up, what is it? And he's just like fully given up.
Ugh. He cheated with me the other day. I write it on the last page, and I go, all right, I'll submit the questions on the front page. I left the room for 1 second, and I came back. And the questions were like, is it an animal? Yes. Is it a mammal? Or is it a reptile? No. Is it a mammal? Yes. Is it a pet? No. Then I left the room for 2 seconds, and I came back, and it said, is it a zebra? Which was correct. And he was like all smug and smiling. And I was like, you cheated. And the look on his face was like, how could you possibly have known?
He's so bad at cheating.
It's like he's 5.
Yeah.
Other big news of the week. Maven turned 4.
It's crazy. I feel like she like did another one of those growth spurts where she also looks huge.
Yeah, it's also we spend the whole day looking at her. And we're like, when the hell did this happen?
Yeah. I'm like, who is this huge person?
According to Brynn and Maven's rules, she is now officially a big kid.
It kind of feels like it, though. Like, all of a sudden, I'm like, yeah, this is a kid. It's not like a toddler.
Yeah, she's like 13.
Yeah, she see well, and she got like a new gown for her birthday, and she got like little girl high heel shoes, and she's been like prancing around, and she already was like into like girly stuff, but this is like kind of next level. I feel like
this is next level. So
she's been like, she'll have like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich like all over her face, and then she'll be putting on like new toy makeup, like plastering it on her cheeks, like just all mixed together.
Just beautiful.
She took like this blue glittery lip balm thing and was just rubbing it all over her legs and hands. And like, and then I was like, she was like, oh, we have to go wash this off. And I was like, yeah, how about a bath? And she, thank God, she took a bath. Anyway, she's a mess.
I love what we did for, so we didn't have any wrapping paper. I mean, we could have got wrapping paper, but we've been limiting the trips to the store. We haven't been to the grocery store in over 2 weeks. This is a new record, and we're still pretty good.
It really feels like it's been a year since we went to the grocery store. I can't believe how well we're holding up.
Yeah, we really did.
I really feel like I've become like a pioneer woman. I'm like, oh, I've got an onion, and I got some pasta, and we're going to make ourselves a meal.
We're making culinary miracles happen with only 6 to 7 ingredients.
I'm really proud of my efforts. Today, this afternoon, I really wanted a snack, and we're so low on groceries, and there was like just a handful of baby spinach left. And I managed to make like a cheesy spinach dip.
Oh, I was wondering what that was.
And I was like, I am incredible. Like, it's just,
you're like the French peasants making high art out of snails.
Well, I was like, it's fast, it's easy, it's just the snack I want. It's almost healthy.
I had the best eating day today that I have had since we've been here. And I'm realizing now part of it is because we're out of good snacks. I was like, I've got self-control today. I'm like, no, it's just not around.
We do unfortunately need to have less sugar in the house because our children are fiends for sugar.
So is your husband.
I know, but like,
I have no self-control. And
normally at home we can have like a couple of like adult snacks like I can hide away or something. But like,
it's true.
Here,
somehow they find
our kids,
everything.
Like, I don't know, something about Easter and then Maven's birthday and like just the fact that we've been baking more as a coping mechanism. I think they're just like, all they think about is sugar some days. So we really need to like taper it down for a little bit so that they forget that that's a constant option.
It's a weird balance because I have no self-control. But if it were up to me, we'd literally have none of it. But that doesn't work for you.
I know, but if it was up to you, we'd all just be eating like fried hamburger meat every meal. Like,
you know, that's fair. The point is, it's been tricky with all the way we do things and our needs to find a balance that suits everyone. But can I talk?
I like to have snacks and treats sometimes.
I'm not criticizing you in the least. I'm different, and that's my problem. So for Maven,
different in that you also love them.
I don't even love them the way you do. I just consume them without feeling. So for Maven's, we didn't have wrapping paper, so we wrapped up all of her presents in beach towels because we're in a house that has 10 trillion beach towels and rubber bands. And I gotta say, rubber bands and beach towels are incredibly effective. And I just want to say, for the first time ever in this podcast, Beth just got up in the middle of us recording and left the room to get water, acting like I can pretend to talk to her. I can't. I need you here. Even
that's
when
not
I can't
the first
see you.
Time I've gotten up to get water. But continue on talking about this fascinating detail.
You bought this beautiful pink tent. It's a really excellent gift.
Beautiful.
It's a little tent. It fits inside. It's got these poles in it. I set it up, and like we set it up. So there's our room here is attached to a porch that we set the tent up on the porch, and then we put all the presents inside the tent. And then Beth, you got a bag of these little plastic animals, and I made a trail from their bedroom down the stairs, a line of animals through the living room, through our bedroom so that they would wake us up, and then through the door to the porch where all the presents were. So our kids would be our alarm clock, and they would wake up and find a magical trail to presents. And I gotta say, it was pretty magical.
It was good. Maven has had pretty great birthdays the last couple of years. I feel like she's really benefiting from like it not being a crazy time of year.
May is not a crazy time of year. It is for me. That's like normally my busiest work time.
But it's not like being born around like Christmas time or like the 4th of July or something. Like it's not like...
That's fair.
We're not like all just like moving from one event to another. We're sort of like, okay, what's happening around May, you know?
Especially right now. We have plenty of time.
So we were all pretty focused on her.
And can you talk about the cake you made?
She last minute requested a narwhal cake. And I'm so proud of myself. I'm a pretty good, decent cake decorator, but I really feel like I outdid myself this time. Because I was like, okay, how am I going to half-ass this at the last minute? And you mentioned construction paper, which I was like, fine. But then I had a last minute.
For the horn specifically.
For the horn. So I bought just like box cake mix because I don't have discerning enough tastes to want to actually bake a cake from scratch. And it's just, I like to focus on the decorating, to be honest. And then, so we did this like box cake mix. I did the two layers. I shaved off a little bit of the top layer to make it rounded, which I don't think I've ever done that before or like not this successfully. And then I got puff pastry to bake the narwhal's horn and its tail. And it came out, I have to say, pretty incredible. And then our kids instantly.
And then we made a very crucial mistake, which is to put the birthday cake out first thing in the morning on the counter and say to our 4 and 5-year-old, hey, don't eat this cake for the next 12 hours.
I think it's a funny challenge.
A challenge they failed.
I was not expecting it to be so completely destroyed, especially not like face first. It was like so conspicuous.
Narwhal looked like somebody threw a cup of acid in its face.
Well, what I found funny is like I have watched a lot of nature shows about whales, and it really just looks like someone's eating at the carcass of like a dead whale. Like they're just like
biting chunks out. A beached like, whale that a grizzly bear found. A family of grizzly bears.
Some killer whales got at it.
It's like a loose, sugary jaw of a whale on the counter.
Well, because so I made the mouth and eyes out of chocolate chips, so that's why they went right for the face.
Yeah. I mean, that's what the cat does, too.
What?
When you die in your apartment, your cat eats you. Never mind, let's move on.
Okay.
So on a scale of 1 to narwhal, how'd we do?
Narwhal.
All right, now it's time for You Knows What They're Saying. This is where we talk about some weird shit our kids said.
So this is something weird that happened actually on Maven's birthday, which feels really weirdly conspicuous. She told me that one of her best friends is a dead girl named Hallie, who she hangs out at daycare with.
Hallie?
Hallie, with an H.
I thought you said Nella, or that's her baby.
No, Nella is her baby. Her doll is named Nella or Ella. Anyway, she told me that this girl, Hallie, is her best friend at daycare with her other best friend, Camilla. And she said that, I was like, is Hallie nice? And she's like, yeah, but she hits me when I say bad words. And I was like, what kind of bad words? And she's like, stupid. And then it was like kind of confusing. She said Hallie died a couple years ago in Brooklyn. I don't know what she's doing at our daycare in Mamaroneck. But she just like
she's setting our daughter straight to stop using such foul language.
She seems like a little bit like a good influence, and I feel like the fact that like the three of them were all best friends together, and it sounds like Camilla can see this girl too. I think Camilla is a really sweet, nice girl.
She wouldn't lie to us.
Well, it's just her and Maven have like a very good thing. They're never like a lot of friendships at that age. I feel like there's a lot of fighting because they're little.
Yeah.
And they're like, you never hear about them fighting. They're, no, it's always just like really
Camila
sweet.
Camila does not seem conflict prone.
No, they're both just like very sweet. I'm like so glad they have each other there. Anyway, so I was just getting a sense. I was like, I think I like Hallie. Like, I think Hallie is a good influence.
She hits her daughter, but only when she says stupid.
Yeah, but the way Maven said she hits, like, the way Maven was like, so she hits me sometimes, it didn't feel like she's hitting her, like, hard. That's in my instinct. But I did tweet about this, and then I got all these replies of people telling ghosty stories about their kids. And 3 and 4 years old seems to be about the age where this is the most common.
Well, I don't believe in ghosts, but Maven and I have been talking a lot about dead people because we went to a graveyard together. And it's fascinating to go to a graveyard with an almost 4-year-old. She wanted, you know, she's like sort of got it from the, was it a woman who swallowed a fly? At the end, she's buried in the ground because she's dead. And they look at the tombstone. They kept being like, what's this door? And so I've like really explained it to him. So we went to the oldest maintained graveyard in America, which is in the town we are in, oh, in case you're trying to find us. We went there, and there was like a plaque with some famous-ish people I'd never heard of. They were there, and pictures of their gravestones. And Bryn goes, I want to find this one. It's got a 9 on it. Let's go. And I'm like, well, maybe you should study more of the details on here before you go looking for it, instead of just looking for the number 9. So he went running off to find this gravestone. And Maven was like, there's dead people here? Are they going to be zombies? She's obsessed with the idea that you die and then you become a zombie.
That's her only understanding of any kind of afterlife.
So she's saying dead people are real, but zombies are not real. I'm like, yep. I'm like, there's people under this ground. She's like, what? And we talked about cremation yesterday, which I could tell was creeping them out a little bit, but they asked.
Oh my God, this needs to lead into our next segment.
Oh boy, what does that mean? We'll find out, but this one's not over yet.
It's not?
No. Okay, I guess it is. Ba-da-ba! In fact, we're just going to immediately dive into our next section. No break. This is... Who knows what they're watching? Because that's all they do these days, is watch things.
All we do. So we found some... fun movies during this time, but we made a really strange last minute choice last night to let Bryn watch Little Shop of Horrors, which none of us had ever seen.
All of us thought we'd seen it, and as we started watching, we realized we've never seen this movie.
Now, I kind of knew I hadn't really seen it. I had seen like clips, but I really had not seen this movie at all.
I just realized I was a theater major, and I've heard every song from the music theater majors around me.
Yeah, and it's a movie, once you see it, you kind of understand why it's not more widely seen, because it has some really slightly disturbing content for a 5-year-old. Maven got a little ways into where the character of Seymour is letting a plant drink his blood dripping from his finger.
When he's still a little baby plant, just like making a suckling lips.
And then we like...
Maven could not handle that.
Maven was like, this is scary. I don't want to watch this. So we let her go in the other room and watch Peppa Pig.
We were like, Maven, that's fair.
Yeah, I was like, good idea. Thanks for parenting yourself, because clearly no one else is. And then, Bryn was like locked in. But then when that scene happened, Bryn and Maven both leaned forward on the couch towards the TV, like simultaneously, like they're just so drawn in. And then thank God Maven left the room, because then as Bryn continued to watch, there's like more disturbing, like plant sucking blood scenes
and dentist and horror.
Steve Martin as a horrific dentist.
I had no idea Bill Murray's in that movie.
Yeah, there's a lot of heavy hitters in that movie, full of things your children probably shouldn't see. But Bryn rewatched the whole movie again today because he's now obsessed. Well, maybe he didn't watch the whole movie, but he had it on. He was watching it again. He was like, I love this.
And he, by the end, he was like, I was like, what was your favorite part? And he goes, I'll tell you what my saddest part was. I was like, what? He goes, when the plant blew up at the end. I was like, well, you mean the bad guy was defeated?
Oh, he kept insisting throughout the movie. We were like, who's your favorite character? And he was like, the plant.
I was like, but he ate people. He's like, he's just hungry.
Yeah, he was like, he's just being silly.
I tried to explain to Bryn that the plant was trying to spread plants across the whole globe to eat everyone. And he's like, I still like the plant.
He did say something when after the plant ate someone where he was like, maybe this plant's not so good after all. Like he like turned to me.
Feed me, Seymour.
Also, kind of a racist plant voice in the movie. A lot of strange choices in that movie.
The voice of the plant is one of the Four Tops singers.
Oh.
Fun fact.
Is he also a voice of a California raisin?
Take that, 1986. Weirdly, that's a it's a adaptation of a musical, but the musical was the adaptation of a non-musical film from Roger Corman in 1960. I watched a bunch of clips, and it's super bizarre. And do you know who plays the role that Bill Murray has in the original movie?
No.
Of the guy, Bill Murray plays a guy who weirdly just loves being the pain of the dentist. He goes to the dentist and he loves that it's painful and doesn't want Novocaine.
Another scene our children probably shouldn't have seen.
There's no reason to have that scene in the movie at all. But in the original movie, it's played by Jack Nicholson.
You mean Broadway show?
No, the original movie, 1960, the non-musical.
I didn't even know that existed.
Did you not hear anything I just explained? In that movie, Jack Nicholson plays that character, and it's like equally broad and goofy. Like, you don't ever see Jack Nicholson. Oh, I was about to say, you don't see Jack Nicholson playing over the top. That's totally false. But, like, so cartoony. He's like, I love the dentist.
It's another super thing. Weird. So, when I let Maven watch TV in the other room, I kept coming in to check on her, and every time she'd be like, did the plant eat the man yet? And then after the movie was over and we're putting her to bed, she was like, but I didn't get to see the plant eat the man.
Like, you left because you didn't want to see that.
This is her constant like thing lately. It's just always being contrarian.
I think movies with practical effects are much scarier than CGI. Do you agree?
Yeah.
Like there's something really disturbing about Audrey 2's plant lips. They're so
not
incredible.
Not even so much scarier. It's just like more engaging. Like just more.
Oh, yeah. Because it's a real thing you're looking at.
Yeah.
I have a plan to watch The Exorcist.
Yeah, I know you do.
I'm psyching myself up.
I'm not interested.
I know you're not. It's the last thing in the world you'd want to watch.
I just can't do it. I'm too, like, it just destroys me to get so swept up in.
I'm not a big scary movie person. I get actually pretty scared.
Like,
a nice release.
I binged watched like maybe three episodes of a drama the other day, thinking I was like giving myself a treat. And then afterwards I was like, why do I feel so depressed? And I was like, oh, because I've just been watching people be sad at each other for like 2 hours.
I've been watching True Detective season 2, which is not bad. Season 1 is very much more engaging. But yeah, it's sad. It's all very sad. But I can brush that stuff off.
I don't need to see people get killed right now.
That's why y'all need to be watching The Last Dance. Tell you what.
I'm just going to keep watching Grand Designs on Netflix.
Oh, I can watch that all day long, and we have.
It's so good.
Oh boy.
This has been.
We know what they're watching.
next segment is Would You Knows. This is where we present each other with parenting hypotheticals. And this week, Peter's got one from a listener.
Yeah. And we also should note that Beth sounds very annoyed because we just did this segment already and I wasn't recording Beth. And also before that, I took an hour and a half long break to have another Zoom with my good friends from high school.
They don't need to hear all this.
Well, they didn't hear it because you heard it, but I'm saying it again because I didn't record you.
Okay, let's hear the email.
I'm
Would You Knows.
Tired and angry. My friend Peter, he texted me and we talked about your text, but now we can't repeat it because I screwed it up.
Get to the question.
This is from Elise. Subject line, would you knows? ! That's the proper way to write it, by the way. Hi, Beth and Peter. Thanks for your wonderful podcast. I haven't missed a week since the very first episode. I have an almost four-year-old and a one-and-a-half-year-old, and your parenting experiences are so relatable. As I was lying awake last night, thanks to my eldest child crawling into our bed and subsequently taking up as much space as is bodily possible for a 35-pound kid, I thought of a would you knows. For this scenario, you have to pretend COVID quarantine is over. I'm going to try to pretend that. Imagine Peter's agent reaches out to you and says a major broadcasting company is piloting a new reality show wherein families have 24 hours from the time of contact to prepare for an all-expense-paid vacation to somewhere awesome. The catch is you have to bring your kids. The location is more than 17-hour flight away, including a layover somewhere. And you can't give your kids any type of sleeping aid, and you can't bring anyone along to help. Also, there is a 6-hour time change. Do you do it? If so, what if the kids were younger, like 2 and 3? In this scenario, you have to sit in the last row of the plane. Would it make a difference if you could sit in business class? Yes. A couple other things to note. This is not a paid gig. However, your agent says the exposure will bolster your career and the trip will take you to a place you've always wanted to visit. Is this interesting? Regardless, is this interesting? It's a good callback. I didn't notice that the first time. Regardless, hopefully you have fun imagining being anywhere that isn't a cabin somewhere. Take care, both of you. Elise. P.S. If you miss a week or day, can you post some kind of quick recording just to let us know you're okay? I'm always concerned you'll get sick of recording the show and suddenly stop production. Do we sound like we're sick of this?
We won't ghost you guys. I think we would...
I mean, we did ghost them for a week.
Well, but I mean, I think if we had known that was going to happen and we hadn't lost power, we would have been like, hey, we're not going to be with you this week.
I did post a thing that says, we're going to be late. And then we just bailed them the whole week.
Yeah.
Plus, during these times, what if someone was sick or something? Peter has been awfully cavalier about his visits to the grocery store. Lies. Lies.
She's right.
No, lies.
Okay, so my answer to her question... Would I take this unpaid reality show gig to go to a nice location? My answer is a hard no. No, definitely not. I don't want to be filmed in a reality style show. I don't want like...
You know, the first time I read this, I read it as they're like, oh, we get to go to a beautiful place. We just have to go through a horrible thing. But now I am realizing, what is the show? Because they give you, they're like, you have 24 hours to get ready and pack and go. Is the show the travel?
I think at a certain point in your career, you have to value yourself higher than reality TV, or you're committing yourself to being a reality TV person. Like,
okay, we just talked about this, but you and I did meet on a reality internet TV show.
Yeah, when I was like 20 years old, that's when it was a sensible decision to us then to do an unpaid reality show.
That's true. We thought we were going to be so huge. It felt like a big deal at
the
time.
It was the exposure we needed at the time.
Everyone at UCB knew who we were.
It gave us a huge boost.
And that we were the first and second place losers. ProjectImprovisor.com.
People still talk about Marcy Giroux, though, so it was a good gamble.
They still talk about Project Improviser winner Marcy Giroux?
All the time. They talk about her podcast, A Funny Feeling.
But they don't talk about how she got there from that sweet project improviser.
Well, no, people don't know the origin story.
But we know.
We know. But no, I have been filmed in, for some reason, more than one documentary style production, and I don't. It's not fun. It's just work, and I don't want to do unpaid work that I have to get on an airplane with my kids for.
Yeah, I don't mind traveling with kids, but idea of the final destination still being a I'm still not clear on what the show is.
If you're going to travel with kids, it better be for fun.
If it's like a competition, like who can travel the best with kids?
No, I'll
win.
No matter what I'm doing, flying on an airplane, sitting on the beach, during none of that do I want a camera in my face. Well, I try to deal with my children. I try to throw marshmallows at them to keep them happy. I don't.
Have you been throwing marshmallows at our kids? Because that's the second time you've mentioned doing that.
Well, I mentioned it the first time when you didn't record me for this segment.
It just feels like you've talked about it 100 times.
Well, I'm just trying to replicate the magic I gave you in the last take of this.
I did.
Which is why I don't want to be on a reality show where people are like, hey, can you go pour yourself some coffee again? Just so you can get that.
You're like, I already poured this fucking cup of coffee. It's not real anymore.
Can we just get you guys like talking naturally? It's not like we're not even going to get the audio, but just like try to be natural.
Yeah, yeah. I'll try that again. Hey, my wife, to whom I've been married for... I got really real stumped on how many years we've been married.
1,000.
How long? 10 years, almost? 10 years coming up. What do you want for Mother's Day? Just to be left alone?
Peace. Yeah.
Should I take the kids for a long, long, a 10-hour drive for Mother's Day?
Yeah. Yeah.
I might do that. Here's a question. Here's a question for you, Beth.
What?
What would the reality show have to be for you to be willing to be on it? And this is any kind of reality show. This could be the people just having an experience. It could be a competition. It could be a weird challenge punked reality.
Well, like, I did that. Like I was saying, I was like, I've weirdly been filmed in a lot of documentary style things. And it's just now occurring to me another one, which is that I did like the masterclass video with Steve Martin. Oh, yeah. And I was like, this was kind of a hokey like thing, but like I knew it was going to be Steve Martin. So it's like, well, I'm spending the day with Steve Martin. I'm not going to turn this down.
Yeah. You know? And like, you're just it doesn't listening matter to Steve Martin.
How bad it goes. At least I have the story of how it went badly with Steve Martin. Like, it's just like... But so, yeah, I would like if it was something where I was getting to spend time with someone I respected and I felt like they were going to be doing something relatively interesting, that I would like be totally down.
So if it was about a skill.
Yeah. Like I like reality shows like Project Improviser or Project Runway.
The world famous Project Improviser.
I like reality shows like the one that we were on. I like shows like Project Runway or Grand Designs, like I mentioned earlier, where someone is trying to create something or do like a project, and you get to see you get to see over time how their like level-headed or panic decisions pay off in the long run.
Any show that is about actually getting into the details of a skill.
Yeah, like a creative process, and especially when you see how people get in their own way or like get in their head and like self-sabotage. Yeah. It's like so fascinating.
That's why I love Drag Race. It's like a job now.
I like versions of Drag Race. Yeah, I like the parts of Drag Race that are more like that, but then there's other parts of Drag Race where I sort of I wander in and out.
And that's fine. That's fine. I watched the first episode of Secret Celebrity Drag Race. And I was like, oh, this will be fun. And then they're like, here's three celebrities you've never heard of. And I'm like, not as much fun.
No Steve Martin.
If Steve Martin was on Drag Race, I would watch that.
It's weird this episode we've had callbacks to Steve Martin in the movie.
What are you saying?
The movie that Bryn watched.
Little Shop of Horrors.
Little Shop of Horrors.
You were so shocked to see Steve Martin in that movie.
We had just a lot of natural callbacks in this episode. Anyway.
Is this interesting?
Is this interesting?
Oh boy. Oh boy. Oh boy. Oh boy. What reality show would I be on? It's a great question, Beth.
Drag Race. Would it be Drag Race?
I would be on Drag Race.
You would love to be on Drag Race.
Well,
if
I mean,
you drag, would you keep your beard or not?
I would do, well, if I was on Drag Race, I assume that if one of those episodes where they bring in like random, fans or people to be done over.
Right.
Obviously I do not have any of those skills, but I would, I'd say whatever your vision is, I'm your blank slate, whatever you want. I'll shave this beard. Although I could do if you want to do like a big, you know, gender bending glitter beard. Hey, maybe.
Yeah. Well, how do you roll? Which one speaks to your heart?
Well, I love Drag Race. I love the magic trick of a grand transformation. So shaving the beard off would be fun.
Yeah. What kind of wig would you have? Like a redhead?
I don't know who my. It's probably the challenge where I have to see like a sisterly resemblance, and so I'd have to look like that drag queen. So which drag queen? Because if it's Crystal Method, then I'm going to look like a circus.
Okay.
Tent,
all right. Cool. Well, we've gone off topic. We can,
you know,
wrap
Jane
this
Essence
up.
Hall, you know, I'm going to be classier. I don't know.
Anyway, obviously our reality show aspirations don't involve our children or long flights and not being paid. but
weirdly,
now that we think about it, we do have strong reality TV aspirations.
I have thought a lot about, you know, because we were on Project Improviser, which had its faults.
A web-based reality show about improv.
Because it was, they had, you know, no budget whatsoever and not a lot of time.
It was like literally like the second it was even possible to upload videos to the internet, like of that length. So it was not like there was, people were like practiced in.
Yeah, well, also we had 15-minute long shows with 9 people in them.
Okay, you need
but
to get
I
over
would
it.
Love, I would love to host and create that show now.
Wow. Are you proposing a comeback?
Hey, if somebody
are we
want,
the judges?
If somebody,
of new,
if somebody wants to produce a
there
reality
is,
show.
There is somebody who wants to do this. Remember? There's like some guy who really wants to get it.
Well, the guy who like wanted to do a big story on Project Improviser and whoever his publisher was like, nobody knows what this is.
I don't know. Anyway.
But I would host and create that show, and it would be really great. I'll host it.
Wow. So your dream reality show you've already been on.
Is for me to be in control of the show that I was kicked off of.
Just rig it.
I'm not going to be a contestant.
I know, but you're just, you're like, it's weird that after the one girl got eliminated, that the other girl wasn't eliminated. We need to bias this more in favor of bearded white men.
What are you? What are you trying to
what?
Assign to me? No, it'd be incredible.
Okay.
I'm calling it.
Well, this has been another episode of We Knows Parenting. I'm Beth Newell.
I'm Peter Victority. If you'd like to email us, send us a question, a thought. Tell us how you're doing. How has your parenting life changed for the better or the worse or whatever? You can email us at weknowspod@gmail.com.
Or you can give us a voicemail at 347-384-7396.
Just give us a voicemail.
I was trying to find the phone number.
And Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, We Knows Pod.
Rate, review, subscribe. Buy my book, There's No Manual. Honest and Gory Wisdom About Having a Baby.
Oh, and won't you vote for the Story Pirates podcast? We've been nominated for a Webby Award. Vote for that, I guess. That'd be cool. It's also, it's Giving Tuesday today. Maybe donate to Story Pirates. Check out storypirates.com. We love you.
Bye.